Amen. Yeah, she got the words off our computer. She was at our house. Yeah. Writing all on the desk with no paper under the desk. Got a little imprint at my desk. Yeah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Because she was going to the computer, get all the kind of stuff. That's what she was getting off the computer. So we praise God. Amen. 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 I take nothing for granted. God is working. You know, and He's in this ministry. He's in this church for a reason. So that when we look at the news cannot report on every child everywhere. Amen. I'm not going to be messed up by what they say. There's some things that I know. And I know what God has promised parents and children if we just come together in His Word and begin to train them up, begin to live as examples for them what God is able to do. Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. And what I'm going to do is to read it again, but from the Message, because when we were in Vacation Bible School, they kept using the Message, and everybody said, yeah, I like that. So I got about four Message Bibles. I said, well, I'll say they like it on Sundays. I'm going to do what they did. There's nothing wrong repeating and imitating if it's good. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31 in the Message Bible says, have you not been paying attention? Have you not been listening? Have you heard these stories all your life? Don't you understand the foundation of all things? God sits high above the round ball of earth. The people look like mere ants. He stretches out the skies like a canvas, yes, like a tent canvas to live under. He ignores what all the princes say and do. The rulers of the earth count for nothing. Princes and rulers don't amount to much, like seeds barely rooted, just sprouted. They shrivel when God blows on them, like flecks of chaff. They're gone with the wind. So who is like me, save God? Who holds a candle to me, says the Holy? Look at the night skies. Who do you think made all this? Who marches his army of stars out each night, counts them off, calls them each by name, so magnificent, so powerful, and never overlooks a single one? Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying God has lost track of me? He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's the creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. That's the Message. Today we want to talk about nobody greater. Nobody greater. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place. Thank you, God, that you've already blessed and moved. And now, God, we pray that your word would go forth, that your word would not be blocked by me. So help me get out of the way so you can have your way. Then, Father, bless the entire congregation, that we might hear what we need to hear, feel what we need to feel, and learn what we need to learn, so that when we leave here, we'll be able to tell the enemy, get thee behind me, Satan, for I belong to God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Nobody greater. Sometimes so many things can be going on in our lives that these things begin to water down or wear down our faith and trust and dependence upon God. It was like that this week. We got a lot of different phone calls this week about people being attacked or people getting sick and going through with different things. And every now and then there's a season where the enemy tries to just mess with God's people in the church. But there's something that Isaiah wants us to know. And if we're not careful when we go through stuff, it'll begin to mess up our faith. Some folk pull away from the church, pull away from God. But there's something that we need to know. Even though the Bible tells us in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is a message of encouragement. So if you don't need to be encouraged, then you might be like, ah. But I know a lot of us need to be encouraged, because a lot of us have been through some stuff. Not just this week. Some folks have been through some stuff since January. Some folks got some stuff left over from 2011 that fell into 2012. But the only reason that you're still here today is because the God that we serve is able to keep us from falling. Hallelujah. He's able to do anything and everything but fail. Sometimes we forget to say, God, I don't know when you're going to remove this thing from me, but I so thank you that while I'm in it, you have kept me. Because if the enemy had his way, who knows that he comes to seek, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But if it wasn't for God, God stays the hand of the enemy. And we praise him for that. Many of us know God, knows God's word, and believe God's word. But when one is in the midst of going through, sometimes it's not that easy to feel the presence of God. Even though God has proven himself to us over and over and over again. Because sometimes when you're going through some stuff, it's not that easy to feel God's presence. You know he's there. But something, you know, that just makes you feel like, God, I need you to be close. God, I need you closer. This is why it's so necessary that when it comes to God working in our lives, that we don't think it's us. And remember that it's him. And at no time should we have a memory loss or memory lapse when it comes to who is working things out for us in our lives. What that song say, let the lady say, I don't have no amnesia. Sometimes we get amnesia because God is so good to us that we forget and we abandon him until the next episode. I wish I had somebody that didn't worship God just on episodes. Some people worship him on episodes. Amen. Amen. When something go wrong, I'm going to lose my job. Let me go to church. Come on, I'm going to lose my house. Let me go to church. Some people do episodes. That means people don't understand who God is. He's not just some, you know, some lollipop daddy. He has the right to be served and worshiped every day of the week. Every week. You don't have to get all deep and get a map and put it and face east, west, north, or south. You can walk along that and say, that God, I thank you. Sometimes I see stuff on the street. I say, God, it could have been me. No, we busy turning up our noses up at Bill. And God said, no, it could have been you if it wasn't for my grace. You're not so great. You're not so intelligent. You're not so smart. You're not so healthy. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's necessary. That's why the songwriter rightfully penned the song when they wrote, My Hope is Built. You know that song says, that's why folks look at you like you're crazy, because I have peace that passeth all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable. And what's going on is this, because they look at you like you're crazy. You go to church. Everybody tell you that? You go to church. You worship him. You go down there. You support that church. You give your tithes and offerings and everything, and look at you. You going through. But the songwriter says, my hope is built. You don't pay for this hope. You don't pay for this peace. You don't pay. That comes with salvation. If you ain't had no money, you can still have a peace that passes all understanding and a joy. You need to let folk know it's not based on money. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All on the ground is sinking sand. Christ is our solid rock. And when we look at the book of Isaiah, for today's message, I come to remind somebody there's nobody greater. Nobody greater. And, you know, we've been in ministry long enough that we heard all kinds of excuses. And I tell folk, I can't believe you're going to miss your blessing based on what you don't like about a church. Go to another church. How many churches are there in Philadelphia? If you don't have a right relationship with God, you'll get some lame, sad excuse. I don't like going to my church. Well, it ain't your church then. Go find a place where you can worship God, give God glory, and give God praise. You're missing out on your blessings. Your children are missing out. Your marriage is missing out. The people that are connected are missing out because you are stuck somewhere in some simple excuse. God doesn't want to be a part-time rock. He wants to be a full-time rock. And you look at the book of Isaiah, there are two basic divisions to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapters 1 through 39, the first half of the book, Isaiah the prophet is instructed because of the sin of Judah, Israel. He delivered a message of judgment to them and the surrounding heathen nations. And then in the second part of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40 through chapter 66, and you know, some people call Isaiah the little Bible because it has 66 chapters and that kind of thing. But in Isaiah chapter 40 through 66, Isaiah the prophet is instructed to deliver a message of forgiveness, comfort, and hope. That's one thing I like about God. God said, if I can get your attention long enough to let you know you're wrong, and you admit that you're wrong, I got something for you. God said, I got so much love for you. Yes, the folks said, I got the love for you. God, I got so much love for you. You don't even know. I want to give you this love that I have. So Isaiah is told that this is what he's now to do. You already said the judgment. And when God puts out judgment, there's a time of grace so we can get it together. But now he said, I want you to comfort the people. As a matter, if you look at Isaiah 40, verse 1, what does it say in the King James Version? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. God wants to comfort us. He knows what we are faced with. He knows what we are going through. As we focus on Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31, we want to make sure that we understand that sometimes God will bless right away. Sometimes he'll bless another day. And then sometimes he'll bless 2 or 3 weeks away. But he will bless you. You got to be able to hold on and believe God. You got to be able to say, my faith looks up to the Lamb of Calvary. You got to be able to hold on and trust God. As a matter of fact, my Bible commentary says that when Isaiah got to chapter 40, Judah still had 100 years of trouble. Can I get a witness? Not 100 days, not 100 weeks. 100 years of trouble before Jerusalem will fall, and then they had 70 more years in exile. And he's telling Isaiah, preach a word of comfort. 100 more years of trouble and 70 years in exile before whatever God promised them would come to pass. So God tells Isaiah to speak tenderly and to comfort Jerusalem. But my commentary says the seeds of comfort may take root in the soil of adversity. Oh, my God. That sometimes you got to get through the mess to find the light. You got to get through the stuff that's all the stuff that's going on in your life. You got to work through it so you can see God in it. Oh, my. You ever lose a small item in a big bunch of mess, like a needle in a haystack? I'll go buy me some more needles. But when your life seems to be falling apart, God will comfort you. You may not escape the adversity, but God will comfort you. And sometimes the only comfort you have is the comfort of God. Because sometimes you can't put it in words. You cannot articulate what you're going through. But God already understands it, and he'll be your comfort. And just because you don't feel his presence as close as you usually feel his presence, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean God's mad at you. Oh, my. Some people, because the enemy will do that to you sometime. Something happened in your life. Oh, I missed church last Sunday. Oh, my God. God ain't petty like that. I'm sorry, y'all. We might be, but God's not petty like that. God don't work that way. Man looks on the outside. God looking at the heart. Okay, let me move on. Somebody said, Pastor, move on, please. In chapter 40, Isaiah is basically trying to help Judah with their memory lapse and their shattered hope. Because sometimes when you're going through, God is so good all the time, doesn't come up and out that quick. Can I get a witness? Come on, be real now. Sometimes you got a praise in you, but it don't feel like coming up when you hurt. You know, you love him. You got a praise in you, but you hurt. Amen. You'd be up there looking at the praise team. I wish they would sing something about healing. I wish they'd sing a song about financial matters. I wish they'd sing a song about marriage. Because when you're going through it, it occupies your time. It occupies your brain matter. But when you get to your closet, you got to have a favorite scriptures and some favorite songs that get you up out of stuff so you can carry on with your day. You can't keep calling in every day from your job, I'm going through, I can't come in. God needs to be a witness on that job. I'm going through and I am coming in because I'm coming out. Oh, I wish I had a witness. God is our strength, our refuge, a very present help in trouble. But the enemy will love us to scatter every time something jump off. Because sometimes when you're young, we're told in church, everything going to be all right. And that was true. I thought it was going to be all right away. They explained the rest of it to me. Everything going to be all right if you hold on and hold out. You believe God for the blessing. I'm running around. Everything going to be, I just tell folks, come to church. Everything going to be all right. As soon as they tell me their problem, come on. It's going to be all right. In about a week. It was all right about a week. They left church and I was almost right behind. No, but the Lord is good. Whatever God promised, he will fulfill no matter what you're going through. You know, you have to learn to become spiritually mature because God makes a promise to you. And no sooner you make the promise, some other stuff jump off. Anybody ever been there? As soon as he promised something to you, all this other stuff that looks nothing like the promise. It's like getting somebody to come remodel your house. And you come back one day, you say, you ain't tell me you're going to tear the wall out. That's what God does sometimes. He gets you to say yes, and then he takes you through the process. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I talked to Reverend Terrence yesterday. He gets you to say yes, then he takes you through the process. Because somebody told me, Pastor, no process, no progress. It's time out for sitting back, sitting down somewhere, just sitting all nice and quiet. Drop it on me, God. God, I ain't dropping nothing on you. I want you to get up and be involved in your life. I want you to be, somebody said, I want you to be a billboard for my glory. I want somebody to see what you're going through and know how great I am. Just because they know you and know what you've been through. I want somebody to see you raised up off your sick bed. I want somebody to see that he put your marriage back together. I want somebody to see that they tried to get you, but they couldn't get you. You see, we don't like that part about it. We just want to receive all the blessings. We just bring it on, God. Bring it on, God. At the funerals, they'd be like, God, why you take them? I never see anybody cry coming to the altar saying, why you bless my son so much? Why you bless me so much, God? Take it back. Oh. All we want to know, why we ain't get what we want. Why? Anybody turn any blessings back recently? Who's rejected blessings? So when the other stuff comes, when we flip the coin, God's still God. That's why he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter what happens. I can praise him in season and out of season. There are times when you got so much money in your pocket, you look like you got a swollen leg. Then there's sometimes it looks like it went down overnight. I wish I had a witness. Amen. But is God not still God? Anybody ever eat more when they had less? Anybody? Think about that. The less I had, the more blessed I was. Because sometimes the less we had, the more thankful we are. Because some people, if they got a lot, man, they'd be like, look, you know, when this run out, I'll talk to God. God said, no, you need to talk to me all the time because I'm the one that keeps this thing filled up like this. Yeah, you got anybody here that didn't like their job and then their job was gone? Somebody told you jobs are plenty. And when you went to look for one, there wasn't plenty no more. Because sometimes we frustrate God's blessings. We get too big, you know, for ourselves sometimes. You know, the place can't run without me. Go ahead. Quit. And see if the business go out of business. You might be good, do your job and go to God, but you ain't all that. There's some CEOs in the company that can run without them. Because they can get a stamp to sign the name on the check. I wish I had a witness in here. See, we got to understand who we are in the whole scheme of things. And God is a forgiving God. Sometimes you get too full of yourself, just go and repent. You know? Amen. Or get your arm turned around backwards so you can hug yourself. Sometimes we really don't give God his due and his glory. We think it's us. It's really not us. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21, 31, let us consider these three points. Number one, don't you remember? Number one, don't you remember? And when I'm saying that, you ever try to help somebody, and once they get to where they need to go, they're going to come talk stuff to you? You say, look at here, look at here. I ain't trying to get all in your face and brag, but look at here, look at here. Yeah. I knew you when you ain't had no socks, more or less shoes. Don't come all up in here like that. People get new on you right now when they get delivered with your help. Amen. You sacrifice, you help them. That's why you got to do it for God's glory. Because sometimes they won't even turn around and say thank you. So you got to do it for the glory of God. But some folks, they get to talk and stuff. And you just would be itching and say, Lord, if I wasn't saved. So number one, don't you remember? Number two, who is his equal? Number two, who is his equal? Number one, don't you remember? Number two, who is his equal? Number three, he is your everything. Look at Isaiah 4. Look at verse 21 in the King James Version. Have ye not known? Isaiah's talking to, if you read the whole chapter, you go home. But Isaiah's talking to Judah saying, God's been too good. Let me recall. Because right now, because of what you're going through, you have a case of spiritual amnesia. You act like God didn't wake you up this morning. That God did not start you on your way. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth who God is? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. He said, don't you remember who God is? And it's like saying when somebody like a king sits up high and everybody else is that king's subject. And that king, that earthly king, don't care nothing about you, your family, condition you're in. If you're eating poor, whatever. But he's saying, God sits up real high and still cares about us. Even though we might appear to be grasshoppers in his sight, he cares about us. It blows my mind if you put an ant under a microscope and an ant got some organs in it and a heart and breathe. An ant.
So you know how God loves us. But Judah, you got to remember. So I'm trying to bring you some comfort. You got 100 more years, and then you got 70 more years of captivity. But I'm trying to bring you some comfort, because the only comfort is going to come from God. Anybody ever got to that point, but the only comfort you're going to have is going to come from God? It's a blessing to be turned down sometimes from some folk. Because sometimes you depend on people so much, God had to shut that door too. I said bless the Lord, because sometimes you drain folk. You drain folk. Amen. Amen. They feel like they should just come and turn their paycheck over to you sometime. That's how you be draining them. You drain them. And you be everything. I can't get no prayer through. Why can't you get a prayer through? What? You can't pray? You and I belong to the same church and you can't pray? You don't know. That's why I tell folks, teach them how to fish. It's okay to feed them a fish dinner, but then teach them how to fish. You eating salmon, they like tilapia, baby. They need to go fish for themselves. But you ain't buying that. Cause you. Thank you. Thank you.
It is he that sitteth. Look at verse 23. He bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. What he's saying is, all these people that think they somebody, they nobody without me. If I pull my breath out of them. Anybody know what happens? God just wink his eyes, just close his eyes. God, you ever take a power nap while you're driving? You ever been so tired you sat at the stop sign, thought it was a light because it was red? I think a couple of years ago, come back and say, what you sit there for? Oh, just a red sign. Ain't a red light. I'm waiting for it to change, baby. And see, you can't be wrong. You be like, I went somewhere before where the stop sign used to turn green. But God will say, without me, evil can't exist. We need to understand that without God, evil cannot exist. Without God, those other little things that take the place of God in our lives would not exist. God said, without me, you wouldn't have that car that you worship more than worship me now. You wouldn't have that house. You wouldn't have that wife or that husband you worship more than you worship me now. Without me, you wouldn't have all that. And when you asked me for it, you didn't fool me. I wanted to let you see where you were spiritually because I know everything. God, just give me this. And every time the church doors open, I'll be there. We make those kind of promises. Sometimes we'd be so desperate, and God be just laughing. My little child. Like our kids tell the same thing. Mommy, Dad, I won't do that no more. 5 minutes later. Not 5 days later. 5 minutes later. You come back to them. For real, I promise. Look at verse 24. He's talking about these princes and the judges of the earth. Yea, they shall not be planted. They ain't no root. They won't be forever. They shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind will take them away as stubble. What God is trying to get Isaiah, to understand is all that stuff that's coming against you, God's got it under control. He said, if I blow my breath on it, it'd be over. That's what Isaiah 59 says. When the enemy would come in like a flood, God would raise up a standard. I researched that thing. Guess what the standard was? The standard was when the flood came in, God would blow his breath on it and move it back like he did the Red Sea. I wish I had a witness in here that when the enemy would come in like a flood, God said, if you got flood assurance, I will raise up a standard. I'll take my breath and blow against every problem in your life and roll that stuff back. So Judah, don't you remember? As a matter of fact, Judah, if you hadn't messed up, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. Anybody willing to say it's my fault? Some of us, we're not there yet. When you grow, when you become spiritually mature, a lot of stuff we do, it's our fault. But God is so gracious and so merciful, he can handle our fault and still bless us. Just don't think because it's your fault that God's not in it anymore. That's what repentance is about. Saying, God, look, I know I messed up. Some stuff is my fault. Some of us still got the scars of our fault. It reminds us. Hallelujah. Some of us, we've been through some stuff, and when we see what it was that we used to be, we run the other way. No. I ain't touching that no more. How many times can you hit your head against a brick wall before it bursts wide open? So some of us, we're so stubborn. If we weren't so stubborn, why would Deuteronomy say, I put before you life and death. Choose life. That's deep to me. I put before you life and death. Choose life just like they were in the wilderness. When Moses lifted up the serpent, the brass serpent on the pole, it said, look and live. Some of them thought, I ain't looking. I can't stand Pastor Moses. I'd rather die. Folk won't look. Come on, who got the pole? I don't care who got the pole. I don't care who preached the message. It's what thus says the Lord. I can't come to church for such a priest, for such a thing. They make me sick. Well, who said you made them well? Nonsense blocking your blessings. Nonsense blocking our deliverance. Nonsense. When really, if we pull the cover off, it's not them. It's you. looking for stuff. You really don't have a heart for God. You really don't have a heart for worship. You're looking for excuses why you should not come. And God can deal with that. Then he says to Judah, Isaiah says, who is God's equal? Look at verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? I love that part. Because there's some people that remind you of people. But when it comes to God, say, who are you going to compare me to? Who in your life, who do you know that you can liken me to? To whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who else you know can do what I do? Oh, man. That's powerful. That's what, you know, what's that guy that Usain Bolt, before that guy beat him running? He's the fastest one in the world. He walked around for about a couple of months. Who can do what I do? This other guy. He did it better. He broke it. But God said, who's going to break my record? God said, who's going to run this fast? Who can be at Jackie's house and at co-pastor's house and at the Woods' house and at Dick and Tony's house? Who can be there all at one time? No, everything going on, they'll get us all mixed up. Come on. Oh, wait a minute, Sister Jackie. I got to go see the Woods. God said, who can do what I do? Who can be in this church and the church down the street and the church in Russia and the church in Japan and it's nighttime on one side? Who can do all that? God said, who are you liking me to? I'm in one hospital room and somebody else in the hospital room. God said, that's cool. I don't care if y'all on different floors, different hospitals. Don't make no difference to me. I'm powerful. I'm God. I can be every place all at one time, heal everybody all at one time I want to. God is trying to, Isaiah is trying to get them to remember. He said, who you going to like? Who would do what I do? God's a bad dude. Man, if God would brag like we brag, he'd be walking around, live, ride, ride. Come on with it, ride. I can see God if he was on South Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, cancer. Come on, baby. You got to come better than that. That's your best shot. God said, who are you liking me to? Then he says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who have created these things. He said, if you can't see nothing on your level, if you can't see nothing on earth that reminds you of me, look up. He's bringing out the host by number. Because earlier he said, I put the stars out at night and call them all by name. He said, I put them out, but I call them by all their names, and I don't forget one of them. You mean tell me he can't handle your business, you that deep? You that complicated? You that deep? You so deep, God can't handle you? And it's the same God that created the universe in the book of Genesis. He spoke things into existence. You think, who are you going to liken him to? He said, I call the stars out of night, I call them all by name. And they line up and go to the place where I tell them to go to. And they don't go to sleep till I tell them. Nobody greater. God said, I need to remind somebody today, I am the great God. You're going through something, hey, don't worry about your problem. I'm greater than your problems. I'm greater than your mother's problems, your father's problems, your sister's problems. Put all your problems together, and I'm still greater. I'm greater than every problem in this church on today. Said, look, I call them all by names, by the greatness of their might, but he is strong and powerful, not one faileth. He said, whatever I do it well. Then he wants to say, hey, Jacob, hey, Israel, hey, Judah, why are you going around telling folk God mad at you? God mad at me. If God was mad at you, you wouldn't be. You'd read the scripture about the anger of God and the fury of God. God don't mess around. He said, why would you go around telling people my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from God? God just forgot all about. God said, no, I haven't forgotten about you because if I didn't love you, I would have dealt with you when you did all that stuff up under the tree. When you were out whoring after other nations, I would have gotten you there. Hey, God said, when you start making graven images out of trees and you start making graven images out of gold, even back before I even took you out of Egypt, you and Aaron got together and with our Ethan Samson, they had enough gold to make a calf out of. I could have gotten you. Don't tell me I don't love you. You gave me more than enough opportunities to wipe you off this earth. I'm God and I'm greater than any evil you can come up with. Then in verse 28, it goes back to something like verse 21. Hast thou not known? I like that because as soon as somebody does something wrong in the church, everybody know it. But ain't nobody talking about God. That travels faster than the word of God. Just to mess up. Anybody can they just do something goofy at the service? I tell you,
It'd be on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Bookface, somebody called the other night. But
Isaiah wanted Judah to know he's your everything. Because in the midst of whatever we're going through, in the midst of even being wrong, he's still my everything. God is the only one I know that when I mess up, he's still God. Because he don't mess up, I mess up. He's still God. Whether I feel close to him or not, he's still God. The last time I felt distant from God, God said, I never moved. You move. I didn't move. My word is my word. I don't have to go back on my word. You can't disrupt or disturb me because you're upset with me. I'm still God. I see the beginning and the end. Your problem is you can't see the end because you're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. I know it doesn't look like it right now. I know you don't feel the blessing right now. I know you don't feel the move of God right now. But you keep on walking in me. You keep on believing me because there's nobody greater. If you find somebody greater than me, then you give me my walking papers and you go walk with them. That's all God is saying today. If you got a better way to do it, do it. I will get out of your way. And when it's all said and done, when you come back to me, I still love you. Because sometimes you got to learn stuff on your own. That's what my parents would tell me. Sometimes you say you make your bed. You think you're big and bad enough to go out there and deal with all that? Go ahead. Go ahead. You got your little job, got a little money in your pocket. No, $15 and you'll go get you a room, huh? Oh, that sounds funny. You had no money, but you thought you were somebody for. You walk around, I don't want that for dinner. Go get my old stuff. You come up with some fancy food, stuff tastes nasty. Mom? That beef stew show smell good. I'm just playing earlier. I'm just playing with y'all. I was imitating somebody in a movie I see.
Isaiah said, he's your everything. He created the ends of the earth, and he fainteth not. He never gets tired. Your pastors, your leaders, you can get tired. Stuff can wear you down.
We are human and spiritual. Stuff can wear you, especially the same old stuff, can wear you down, but God fainteth not. God said, I don't faint because you only see one piece of it. I got the whole thing. As a matter of fact, I'm ready to put my hand on your life. I'm ready to touch your situation, but it looks like you don't trust me no more. You don't let frustration sit here. You don't turn your back on me. You don't let doubt get in there. God said, I'm ready to bless you.
He said, I faint not.
Neither am I weary. That's powerful. There's nothing that can happen on earth that can make God faint or make him tired. That's the whole earth. That's not just this church. Not just your family. Not just your house. Not just your life, the whole earth. You ever think about God hooking up the whole earth? Wow. And don't get it, Nick, that's deep. And he got time for you. He thought about you. He heard your prayer. He heard somebody else's prayer. He heard your prayer in Black Elise. He heard another prayer in Japanese. Oh, my. See, y'all don't know what Black Elise is.
Y'all call it Ebonics, I know, but I changed it. I changed it for this message. Black of these. Doesn't that sound deep?
I'm in school. I'm learning Black of these. Finish up. But give me a degree. He says there's no searching of his understanding. What he says, I have revealed what I need for you to know about me in my word. Beyond that, hey. You can't really comprehend why I would take a wretch like you and send my son to die for you. We see people every day. We'd be like, I don't know why she dealing with him. I don't know why you. But they say, but you don't know. You don't know what's in my heart.
But he said there's no searching of his, which means you can search all you want, but guess what? You can't figure God out. We walk around talking about,
I don't see why he blessed them. They the biggest sinner in the church. God, that's why I bless them. At least they realize they are one. Why you going around being a phony?
God loves truth. God loves truth. He'll bless the biggest sinner who know they a sinner. He won't bless you and I because we phony.
Oh, let me move on. Somebody said, Pastor, that ain't right. I came all the way from North Carolina to hear you. You call me a sinner. Pastor, that ain't right.
Look at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. That's funny because in the verse before he said, I don't faint. I give power to those that faint because I don't faint. I don't get weary. I give power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases those that are weary, he increases their strength. Oh, you see, it's an exchange going on. When you come to God and give him what's on your mind and what's on your heart, God said, I know what to do with that. It's almost like he recycles it. Every week they come in our block and they say, why throw away a good thing? They got a recycle bin. And see, when you see that stuff again, you won't recognize it. God is trying to tell somebody today, let me recycle your pain. Let me recycle your trial. Let me recycle your tribulation. Because when you see it again, you won't even know what it is. Where did that disease go? Oh, it's called healing now. Thank you.
Where did all that mess go? Oh, no, there ain't no mess no more. It's a bless. My mess is a bless. God, the only one I know can take a whole bunch of mess and turn into a bless. God could do that.
That's why somebody can tell me, said, Pastor, you're a mess. I said, thank you. I know somebody who can take it and recycle it. But he said, I give power to faith to them that have no mighty increase of strength. Even the youth shall faint.
See, we think of young people say, oh, they can do anything. Oh, look at them. They can get 2 hours of sleep and still stay up all night long. They just so strong. And they can run and walk. And you know, I used to do the same thing. I used to be young.
I still am. I just have more wisdom now. Amen. I like Minister Mitch. Go ahead. You can run past me.
My wife and I, we go to the gym. They flexing. I can flex too. Might not look as big. I got something to flex. Ha! Glory. You got to be satisfied with what you got to flex. You can't get caught up in other people's stuff. Someone gets caught up in another. You get caught up in other people's blessings, but you won't get caught up in their mess because you know you don't want to go through what they went through to get what they got. So if you want to be like somebody, you go sit down and talk with them and say, how did you get here? I'm reminded of Donnie McClurk and said, this lady said, I want to sing like you. I want to be like you. He said, okay, let me talk to you after the show. He pulled to the side and said, do you want to be molested? Do you want to be beat up? Do you want to be abused? This is how I got to where I am. Becoming ain't always beautiful.
Becoming ain't always all that cute, y'all. You know how it is. You've been in Jesus long enough to understand that when you become something, sometimes it's not pretty. But you're waiting for the finished product. You can go to somebody's kitchen and say, what are you making? It look like a mess. But once that bad boy starts to cook it,
that mess turned into a bless. You'd be like, Oh, I thought you had to leave at 5. Oh, no, I called them and canceled that. Put me a plate. Make me a little something, something.
Even the youth shall faint and not be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. All Isaiah's trying to tell Judah, don't depend on all that. Don't depend on your own strength. I don't care if you're old or you're young. Don't depend on your own strength because God's the one going to give you what you need to get through the situation and to get through life. He's a life specialist. Anybody hear a thing called life coach? If they ask me, you want a life coach? Yes. Take me to the king. I think the concept of stop again. I'm telling them that. Wait, that's what y'all want. Take me to the king. Take me to the king. Don't take me to the precinct. Take me to the king. I don't trust y'all. No. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Why? Because there is nobody greater. Whatever you need, God has it. Whatever you're going through, God knows about it. Whatever we're involved in, God can get you out of it. Hallelujah. But you got to trust Him. You got to walk with Him. It can't be off and on. It's got to be on. You got to stay with Him. You got to stick with Him. Through the thick and through the thin. That's how you achieve stuff. That's how you get through stuff. That's how folks get through school. That's how folks get through marriages sometimes. You got to go through the thick and the thin because nobody promised you that every day going to be sweet and every day going to be aroma and smelling and going to be cute and all that. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff. But love will let you hold on. It's the love of God to hold on to me and hold on to you. God sees the treasure in the trash. He finds the DNA that He blew into us in the Garden of Eden. He finds Himself in us if we just say yes to Him. But they that wait upon the Lord, I come to let you know, no matter what, nobody's greater. No matter who, nobody's greater. No matter how, nobody's greater. No matter who said what. Who's here today mad because somebody said something? No matter what they said, what did God say? Who shall believe the report of the Lord? I've got running too many folks who all mess up because somebody said something to me. Somebody I respected, somebody I love. Well, guess what? When they start talking smack, don't love them no more. You can turn your love off. Love them from a distance. Don't let somebody keep on get all up in your head and all in your heart and messing you up, saying all kind of strange things to you. Every time you leave them, you feel bad. That ain't no relationship. That is a mess. Every time you leave them, you somewhere crying. Ain't nobody greater than your God. Hallelujah. Raise up your standards. Come on, raise it up. Hallelujah. You gonna love me like God? You ain't gonna love me at all. Get away. Get. Somebody ain't like that. No matter who did what, nobody's greater. No matter when, nobody's greater. No matter where, nobody's greater. No matter how long, nobody's greater. We understand that sometimes we need to be reminded that when it comes to our lives and the affairs of our lives, there is nobody greater. I have a challenge for you today. I want you to put together the most renowned search party with every researcher, searcher, explorer, scientists, geologists, and architects, and give them every kind of technological advanced equipment that they can have and tell them to search all over. But all that smartness that God gave them, all the intelligence that God gave them, let them look high and look low. Let them look under and let them look over. Let them look in between and let them look all around. And then maybe, reluctantly, they'll admit it. There's nobody greater. No matter what you say, and no matter what you're going through, you can trust God in season and out of season. Hebrews 13:8 says, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love Hebrews 6:13. He says, For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. He looked around and said, Whoa, I want to swear on this. Oh, man, let me see here. Let me look around. I need to swear on this thing. Uh-oh, it's me. He said, I got to swear by myself. Acts 4:12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Nobody greater. Philippians 2:10-11 says, That at the name of Jesus, not at the sight, not at His presence, we just say something about that name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I think he got it all covered, doesn't he? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Nobody greater. We got to get on Isaiah 6. When all that stuff when the king of Zion died,
When all your Zion's high, you see God high and lifted up. Because when we see Him high and lifted up, we begin to look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help coming from the Lord. Nobody greater. Who else could send one man named Jesus to die on a cross for all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, and allow Him to be crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb, and then raise Him up on the third day according to the Scriptures, allow Him to walk around 40 days after His resurrection, and then bring Him back to glory, and 10 days later send the Holy Ghost, one just like Him, on the day of Pentecost to keep us until He comes back. Nobody greater. And why are you doing all that? He tell the enemy, not by my permission, not without my permission. Peace be still. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Okay, for our youth, it's youth ministry. Let's close this thing out. Anybody ever heard about the story of three little pigs? It's a correlation of Matthew chapter 7, nobody greater, verses 21 to 28. Because however you build your house on the foundation of God's word, that determines if you're going to stand or not. So because none of y'all ever heard three little pigs before, we're going to end with three little pigs. And the question is, which little piggy are you? Okay. After the benediction, I want y'all to say, how you doing? Which little piggy are you? Which little piggy are you? Now, piggy number one is just totally unsaved. Piggy number two is saved but carnal. Piggy number three got it going on. So this is what happened. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. And the time came for them to leave home and seek their fortunes. Once upon a time, there was a fellowship of prayer, praise, and worship in the church. And it came time for some folks to grow up in the Lord and go out and do their ministry. Before they left, their mother told them, whatever you do, do it the best that you can, because that's the way to get along in the world. So the first little pig, little unsaved dude, built his house out of straw because it was the easiest thing to do. So that make you mad? Some folk always want the easiest thing when it comes to... Never mind. It's not in here. The second little pig built his house out of sticks. This was a little bit stronger than a straw house. You'll find that a carnal Christian will do things that's a little better than an unsaved person, because the carnal Christian says, at least I go to church. You ain't getting nothing out of it. You ain't understand nothing. You ain't praising God. You're not worshiping. You're not meditating. But at least I have the sense to build mine out of something stronger than straw. I built mine out of sticks. The third little pig built his house out of bricks. Which little piggy are you? One night, the big bad wolf, the devil, Satan, who dearly loved to eat fat little piggies, came along and saw the first little pig in his house of straw. He said, let me in. Let me in. Or I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. That's what the devil's trying to do to some of us in this church. Let me in. Let me in. And when you don't let him in, he'll throw a trial. He'll throw a tribulation. But he don't know what you're built out of. We're built for a licking, and we keep on ticking. He said, I'll huff and puff and blow your house in. Monica, why are you looking at me like that? Not by the hair of my chinny. Chin, chin, said the little pig. But of course, the wolf did blow the house in and ate the first little pig. My God. His funeral was last week. For real, it was at Piggly Wiggly Funeral Home. Now, y'all laughing, but sometimes in college, you got to study this stuff. Especially you're going to be a teaching degree. They make you study these, so this is appropriate. People look at me like, Pastor, I lost it. I can't believe I'm sitting here in the mess with three little piggies. No, I did. I'm in the way. Which little piggy are you? Okay. Then the wolf came to the house of sticks. The second little pig, he's saved, but he's flesh. He built his, out of sticks. Let me in, little pig. I'll huff and puff. I'll blow your house in. And the little pig said, because, he's falsely saved. He's saved, but he ain't got it going on. He's going to talk some stuff. Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin, said the little pig. But the wolf blew that house into and ate the second little pig. The wolf then came to the saved house. He came to the house of bricks.
All I'm trying to let somebody know today, get rid of that straw, get rid of them sticks, get in the Word of God, know what thus saith the Lord, and build your spiritual house out of bricks. Let me in, cried the wolf, or I'll huff and I'll puff till I blow your house in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, said the pigs. I want to rewrite this, but the guy said nothing. You can huff and puff all you want. You ain't getting up in here. Come across this door. I got something for you. Because what you in? It's called breaking and entering. I left the lock off, and when you came, I thought I'd break your neck while you were in the breaking and entering. That's my version. That's my, you catch it on Facebook later. That's my version of it. Well, the wolf huffed and puffed, but he could not blow down that brick house. But the wolf was a sly old wolf, and he climbed up on the roof to look for a way into the brick house. The devil's always trying to get in your life. When you shut the window, he's trying to come to the door. You shut the window and the door, he's trying to come up through the rooftop. So listen to this. The little pig saw the wolf. See, when you're not scared, you can see stuff in the spirit. Oh, my. The little pig saw the wolf climb up on the roof and lit a roaring fire in the fireplace. Get you a fireplace, somebody. Get a fireplace. If you don't have one, go buy one. You can buy one from Sears. Sears get ready to close out. Go buy you a portable fireplace. No, I don't work there. I don't get no money from them. So, you know, he lit a roaring fire. You know, fire in the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, but I ain't going there. And he lit a roaring fire in the fireplace and placed it in a large kettle of water. When the wolf finally found a hole in the chimney, he crawled down and kaplash, right into that kettle of water. And that was the end of his troubles with the big, bad wolf. Anybody ever eat wolf soup? I come to let the enemy know today. You keep on blowing and messing around my house. I'm a light of fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm a pray me a prayer. Hallelujah. I'm a pray me a warfare prayer. I'm not going to come outside the house to get you. You're going to keep on messing with me till you're going to get God. There's nobody greater. Oh, did anybody hear from the search party yet? I don't need to hear from them. Because there's nobody greater. I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. I hello. Oh, no, you're all right, bro. Couldn't find nobody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Nobody greater, y'all. You got the greatest friend in the world. He's your Lord and Savior. He's your all in all. So no matter what you're going through today, hold on to Jesus. Don't ever get so frustrated when you won't give up on God.